As we open our prayer time, you might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 25. And in our study of Jeremiah thus far, we have come to the end of chapter 25. And when you go from verse 30 to verse 38, you're looking at the judgment of the nations and the leadership people that are governing and guiding the shepherds, you'll notice it in verse 34, etc. People that are leading and guiding. So all, there's no one excluded, no one escapes. All are to be judged on the whole planet Earth. All, the whole planet from top to bottom, from east to west. Now, having said that, in order to maybe help on that and our own day, go over with me, please, to Genesis and in chapter 6. And in Genesis chapter 6, may pick up, please, the thought. And you will notice, remember, you are familiar enough with it to keep in mind that the Tower of Babel hasn't happened yet. Cain has built a city, and all of the people that have been born are in the circuit where he is, and in that area. And that's where they all are. And in the process, there is no religion, there is no politic as such, just people. Now, and we share together some of that on Sunday, etc. Now, so in the process of, here's all the humans, there's Noah and his three sons, wives, they're going to escape the Genesis flood. But all the other people, not eight people out of all, is not very many, to say the least. And in the process, the people are going to be living, and they live at this point 120 years because God puts them on notice that there is only 120 years. And Noah is given the assignment to build the ark in the light of the judgment of God, the Genesis flood. And he builds the ark. Now, point, here the people are living all the 120 years at this point. And they're all there. Now, in chapter 6 and in verse 5, we share together, chapter 6 and verse 5, of that. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thought, the thought process of his heart, were only evil continually. And evil, remember, goes back to Genesis 3, and the devil said that God said, you'll know, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to know evil, and you don't want to know that. But the devil got them to do it, got them to do that by deception, etc. Now, in doing so, evil is that which is bad, unhealthy, unworthy, useless is the word, utterly useless, evil. Leaves you with nothing, malignant, nothing at all. So it's a word. And God said, when you leave God out, you leave good out. When you leave God and good out, you only have bad. That's what evil. Evil is the total absence of God's grace, mercy, and everything else. That's a bad thing. Now hang on to that. Slide down to verse 11. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So not only is it evil, bad, but it's filled with violence. And the word violence has to do with that which is force, a great force. It would have to do with that which is to throw something down, to hurt it, to harm it. To violent, forceful, throwing it down. That's the word. So not only is evil there, But evil manifests itself in violence. And it does that for 120 years. 120 years. Now you'd say, but you know what's interesting? That we don't hear any complaint, and no one wants to join Noah on the ark. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, they didn't want to know it. They were content with evil, and they were content with violence. Hang on to that. Interesting. Over, if you would, now to Matthew and chapter 24. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. And you will note, if I can, in chapter 24, and I would just want to make a mental note. I'm just interested, and I think you might be also. Here's evil, and evil makes for violence, bad stuff. Now, you would think that the evil would, you would think that you'd have a notice of it, or someone would make a complaint, but they don't. Matthew chapter 24, our Lord, looking back, as you know, chapter 24, mentioning the judgment to come, likens it to the days of Noah, and picking it up in chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day, and hour, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, they're going to know, what can we know? But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So the Son of Man is going to come at the end of the tribulation. Hang on to that. So now when you read verse 38, for as in the days of Noah, it's going to be the same kind of conditions. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and unto the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, what are they doing? They're doing the normal things: eating, drinking, marrying, partying, working, paying bills, or whatever you did that day. You'd had a normal life. Evil. They had a normal life, and it was evil and violence, but it was normal. They did the normal life. It was acceptable to them. The conditions were acceptable to them. They didn't complain. And in the days of tribulation, you know, without turning there at this point, in Revelation chapter 9, they aren't interested in changing anything. They aren't interested in repenting. They aren't interested in stopping drugs. They aren't interested in anything. They just don't want to. Now, evil, violence, hang on to that. Having said that, little bit, over, if you would please, to 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians, picking up, if I can, in chapter 2, you'll pick up the little word we're looking for. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in describing the tribulation and the conditions that lead into it, which are now, we're in them now, verse 7. And the mystery of iniquity is the word lawlessness, without any law. Everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. And the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness, doth already work. This is in the days of the Apostle Paul, right on, right up front. They are already busy, the days of lawlessness. This whole mystery, this whole phenomena of evil, violence, and the continuance of it. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity and lawlessness doth already work. Only he, the Spirit of God, who now letteth or hindereth, will let until he, the Spirit of God, be taken out of the way. So the Spirit of God is holding back, convicting, think of John 16, convicting men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he's holding it all back. So that's why it isn't worse. It's just holding it back. It isn't. It's just restraining it. Just think of, anyway, without doing it on drift, in Genesis 11, if I don't do something, it'll be horrible, horrible, horrible. If I don't scatter them, Genesis 11, all over the world, it's going to be terrible. Now, and the same thing in the tribulation, the Lord said, listen, if I make it longer than 7 years, I'm not even going to find saved people. If I don't do it. People are awful. You need to hang on to that now. Now, so having the lawlessness, we need another one. Over to 2 Timothy, not too far away this time. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you would recall in verse 1, this know also that in the last days, the last periods of history, like in Matthew chapter 24, perilous times shall come, for men will be lovers of their own selves, etc., etc. In verse 1, perilous times. And that word perilous has to do with dangerous times. Again, the word, to throw down, violent force to throw it down. Perilous times, like violence, to throw it down. Like in the Old Testament, here is the word, violence, perilous times, grievous times, violent force will take place in perilous times. So therefore, we're looking at an awesome, so in Genesis 6, and here we are looking at the end of the church age for the tribulation. And perilous times are going to be found before the tribulation comes. Perilous times, grievous times, violent times. Therefore, while you're in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, go over to verse 13 in the middle of it all. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse and worse and worser, deceiving and being deceived. Not only are they going to deceive, but they continue to be so convinced of what they're doing and how they do it, they're going to keep on doing it. That's what they're going to do. So here's the perilous times, and evil men are going to go and wax worse and worse and worse and worse. So now, here we are looking, and if you took in chapter 3 of Revelation, we don't have to do that. The end of the church age, will I come, will I find the body of truth? The answer is no. And in the process, Revelation 3, the church itself is nothing. It's neither cold nor hot. It has no influence. It has no influence. That's the first thing. So the influence the church should have isn't there. The influence that Israel could have had, doesn't have, and will have, that influence isn't here. So we have the church's influence is next to way down, apostasy. Israel's influence about God and God's wonderful person isn't there. And the world system certainly isn't doing it at all. So therefore, we are living in that kind of world and from top to bottom. Now, in that kind of world, what do we have? Well, we have going on, as you know, the stirring, the world system, Israel and the church, all being less than they, not being where they should be, in evil, and thus in encouraging violence. So therefore, in the light of that, if you would, so here's our nation, here's our local, here's our little state in Connecticut. And the state of Connecticut is in the USA, states of the United States, and the United States is in the global environment, and there. So, and we have a whole, we are exposed to the whole globe. Everything that's happening all over the globe is accessible to the guy in the middle of the Venezuelan jungle or the Brazilian jungle or something else. So now, having said that, so here we are looking, and in the process, the media that we have in our own local thing, media, has failed, is failing, it's uncontestable that it has failed to communicate compared to the old days when you have to make a story and you just told the facts and this is what it is, good or bad, right or wrong, they told you. We don't do that anymore. So we're living in a world that the media world that we live in has not done well by the population. The electronic world in which we live, the electronic world is there in all of its gigantic eschatological rising up high and in prophecy and everything, rising and increasing everything in speed. And in the process, the influence is there, and it's all over the place, and the influence is huge because a person can be sitting in downtown Middletown and be listening or talking to someone down in the Arabian desert and have access by all kinds of means and ways. And so Facebook and all of that is all of those things are there. And electronic world is the master, is going to be the master, and whoever has a handle on the electronic world controls it all. So now, here we are, and here's Facebook and all of that, and you can go as a person, and a person can have friends. Where are they? They're on Facebook, or they have influences from Facebook and whatever it is. And therefore, we go and we look to find ourselves on Facebook or such things. And then we find others, good or bad, right or wrong, we find them on Facebook. We find what people believe and how they believe and why they do what they do and what they communicate. And we find all that on Facebook. So depending on who I'm listening to and who I'm paying attention to, I am being influenced. I'm not being influenced by my family necessarily. I'm not being influenced by my work or my school. I'm being influenced by my system that I live under. That's what's influencing me. And I do it. And I find someone that identifies with me, or I can identify with them. And whatever they say or write or do, I'm influenced by it. And I am motivated by it. It's a friend, my friend, I'm a follower, or maybe I'm a leader, who knows, in all of it. So now, having said that and keeping that, and that's overwhelming, and it's controlling. So to say it isn't would be silly. It just is. And it won't be very long, like people say, you're going to have the things that we use, like books and newspapers and all of those things. The more, if the Lord tarries, and the more electronic world is going up, I forget, I the exascale, I'm not, I think that's an, I may not be saying it right, exascale computer, the exascale computer that they're working on right now, not just our country, but other countries are working on it. And that computer is able to go, I don't remember all of it, but in the process, it is able to go. I'm not going to even think I'm way off either. And it can compute a billion, whatever, in a second. A billion decisions in a second. Maybe it's more than a billion, but it's at least a billion in a second. Now, a billion's faster than most of you can think, isn't it? A billion decisions, a billion moves. Wow. Now, that's gigantic, and that's the in thing. That's the country. They're all speeded up between them, seeing who can get it first and perfect it. Wow. So here's electronic world. An electronic world is very, very, very powerful. and highly, highly influential. And therefore, the people do what they do because they may have a home situation or whatever it is, and they're going to go and be influenced. And contrary to they could be very nice, everything about what's going on in my head, my friend out there in ISIS somewhere or some other place on my computer. And I agree with them, and I think that's the thing to do. Hang on. So we have that kind of huge influence. And therefore, as we do that, what and why they do what they do and say what they do, we're influenced by that, no question. Our present society is living in a world abandoning any kind of rightness of reality. We aren't doing that. So we're in a make-believe world. We have a lot of real things, but we have a whole lot of things now that are very critical to us that are make-believe. And therefore, here we are looking, here we are looking in this world. So what are you looking at? What are you reading? What are you thinking? Where are you coming from? And depending on home, mother and father, the typical mother and father, we don't have that. That's there, but it's sort of like dinosauric. It really isn't there too much. Why? Because we're exploring knowledge and understanding, and maybe that isn't so much mother and father's. Maybe it isn't family. We're out there because we're going to school, etc., and we're thinking. And so in the process, as we do that, and the Exodus chapter 20, the last five commandments, six commandments, have to do with the father, honor thy father and mother. That we don't have that. And so the family, as we know it, is really not there. It's there, but it really isn't there. Remember the old-fashioned family back when? And the old-fashioned family was the family. And whatever was, the dad went to work and worked all kinds of hours and to make it, and the mother cooked, and the kids went to school and did what they're supposed to do, more or less, and all of that. We don't have that anymore. It's there, but it really isn't relevant. It's for old people and people who don't have, that aren't up to date. They are not their sort of ancient history. Not millennial history, they're sort of ancient history. So here we are looking at that. And here we are going to add to that now. We're going to add revolution. That's a good one. We're going to add revolution, which makes by way of evolution. And evolution comes along, and that's the thing, in place of creation, and God made you, like the Declaration of Independence says. So we go and we have evolution, and evolution is we're just an accident. That's why communism and others can kill millions. We aren't talking about 10 or 20 or 19. We're talking about millions. And it always interests me in history. We never hear that. Million, 1953, millions were killed over there. Millions. To do what the communists wanted with North Korea. But you never heard of it. We don't talk about that. Nope, we talk about little someone over here or something over there, and we don't talk about it. We don't talk about the Chicago and killings and murders. We don't really talk about them. Oh, we'll talk about something, but we make it. We talk about what we want to talk about, the way we want to talk about it. So here's evolution, and evolution doesn't leave me much, because if you're nothing but an overgrown accident freak, you are expendable. And we are proud because we're the top of the freaks, the top of the things. I mean, we're the top of the pile. You're better than a squirrel, right? You're better than a mouse, I mean, after all. And an elephant, even. Wow. So we're pretty good. But that doesn't give any value to you at all. You don't have any value. And that's why people can exterminate you, people like that, because we don't feel it. You're evolved. You're excellent. And if they really believe that, that's what you believe. If you really believe that. Now, and so here's an add to that, as you know, Freudian psychology. And Freudian psychology comes along and has its huge influence out there, humanism and all of that. And Freudian psychology comes along and says, well, listen, since you're evolved and nothing but a blob, why not be happy at any cost? Why not do whatever you can? Enjoy the best. Make the best of being alive. You're only here for a moment. You're just somewhere, somehow you happened, and then you're not going to happen again when you die, because everyone's going to die. So make the best of it, Freudian psychology. And you're going to take that and add that to our little list. And so here we are looking at all of these things, and the society in which we live is very, very, within it is a very aggressiveness, very, very aggressive groups pushing what they do with great zeal. And there's the passive groups that do nothing or say nothing. And so here we are looking at that and the world we live in. And people don't know what to do. So like in Genesis 6, didn't anyone want to complain? Didn't anyone want to ever fix anything? They may have, but there's no notice of it for 120 years. They just didn't want to do it. Hang on. Now, so here we are looking, and here we are. Now, here's the people are doing what they do, and most people do, young people especially, maybe old too. They do things without thinking about the consequence of what they say and what they do. They do them. They aren't reading where that's going to go. They aren't reading the consequences. If you keep doing that, what's that going to leave you? Where's that going to leave you? Well, we don't want to think about consequences. We just get it and do it. And we're there, we win, or we're losing, or whatever we're trying to do. And then we add to that the doings, our doings, and our drugs, and marijuana, and all of that. And it's for your health. Oh, come on. Why are we pushing it? For social, drugs. We want to legalize having a drug party. We want to be able to legalize. Instead of going down to the bar, the little store down here and get a drink, you get some drugs. And you get drugs, and you drive drugs and drink drugs and whatever you do, and you do that. And Revelation 9, etc., it mentions that. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, the drugs, a social kind of living, and all of that, and in the immigration, all of those issues that are very out there, and people are hitting them one way or another. In other words, the gangs, the drugs, the lawlessness, the sexual slavery, and all of that. No one's going to really talk about it. They're there. Now, what my point that I'm getting at? If you were a young person, and you were raised, we just ran through a little list lightly. If that's your world, what kind of world do you have in your brain? Why is anyone surprised of what people shoot and everything else? Why? Evil makes for violence historically. And when you don't have any influence and you're letting it all go, then you don't be surprised. That's what I'm trying to help you understand. And it has nothing to do with guns, nothing to do with that. Obviously, it has nothing to do with guns because we don't care about Chicago's killings. We don't care about rubbish in Baltimore. We don't care about Google feeding and working with China and all of that, apparently not touching us at all. And I don't have a Google thing. whatever. And in the process, that's influencing. That's the whole point. That's what the argument is. It's influencing young people, people. Does anyone care about the consequences? No one cares about the consequences. No one seems to ever care about consequences. Historically, from Genesis 6, Genesis 11, all the way down the line. Who cares? Who cares? We live with it. We say, well, what are you going to do about it? And then they either get one side or the other, or make hope it goes away, or if nothing else, have a little party and do what you do and make the best of it. That's Noah, Matthew chapter 24, as in the days of Noah. Make the best of it. So go down and get another pizza. What can I say? Now, having said that little bit and thinking, our feeling, our listening, our watching, all of these things without understanding. And if I don't have any understanding and I don't have any kind of background of anything else, and the educational system, which is horrible, creating it, the educational system has educated the monster that we're living with. So now, I'm trying to do that because here we are looking and people are making an issue, and I understand about that a little bit. People are shooting, whatever, young people, whatever. All of them have some kind of thing they write or read or they've been doing, and they're problems. And we just mentioned a little trinket of any number of things that would create huge problems. And if you put them all together, I don't know whether I am an it. I thought I was a male. Maybe I'm not a male. Am I involved? Am not I involved? Am I really something or am I something? What am I here for? Why am I here? And then you tell me this and tell me that. And you guys did that in school and you friends treated me this way. And I'm frustrated. Boom. Got to take it out somehow. On somebody. And that's what you've got. Not many people are going to understand. They're fed a whole line of baloney about this whole thing. And there's a purpose to it, because that's why, historically, evil creates violence, and we're all evil in heart, in our human nature. And that's what it does. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and I did want to at least do that for you, though I know it isn't a lot, but would you go over with me, please, over to old Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, if I can, picking up, please, Jeremiah chapter 8. May I go to verse 10. This is, remember now, looking at Jeremiah and looking at the people, and remember the similarity and likeness. Jeremiah is going to a people that have four different bad kings, and all of them, they don't do one thing to fix anything. All it does is get worse and worse and worser. Deceived and being deceived. Now God, hang on to that, and add the other one so you may have it in the back of your head. God is going to judge the world from top to bottom, and no one's excluded. And you need to get a little understanding of this. Evil, violence, and no intent to change anything. So when God does it, boy, we aren't going to say boo, and we won't. We won't say it. Think of the great white throne judgment. Chapter 20, Revelation. Do you ever read, remember the little whole list of complaints? People raised their hand and said, how come you're doing this, God? And then, why me, God? Remember all those? What's interesting, it's silent. No one says anything as God gives them the eternal lake of eternal fire. No one says anything because their works judge them. Sobering, isn't it? I think it is. Now, so here we are looking in chapter 8, verse 10. Therefore, I will give their wives unto the others, and their fields to them that others fields unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them from every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. Verse 11. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, with looseness, indifference, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Verse 12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. When's the last time you saw someone blush? Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So God, here we are looking, and Jeremiah is given them, given that understanding. Chapter 15 and verse 1. And in chapter 15, adding to it, then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. I don't want to see them. Verse 2. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them. Because God said, Jeremiah, you tell them to go wherever they're going. Well, they said, where are we going to go? God says, peace, peace. That's what they're telling you. They're telling you a big lie. Let me tell you where you're going to go. Verse 2. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, such as are for the sword to the sword, such as are for the famine to the famine, such as are for the captivity to the captivity. That's what you're going to have. That's what's going to happen to you. Oh, no. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 51. And in Isaiah chapter 51, Isaiah is going to add some more for us. Isaiah 51, going to verse 6. Well, for time's sake, no. Go to verse 7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. Verse 8. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, down to verse 12. I am the comforter. Even I am he that comforts you. And who art thou that thou should be afraid of man? Who do you think you are? God looking at him, the remnant, the people. Who do you think you are being afraid of a man? Verse 12. That should die. Why would you be afraid of anyone that can die? You wouldn't do that. And of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass. They're going to all disappear. Why would you be afraid of another human? That's the question. That's God's question. Why would you be afraid of another human? And Peter, I'm not afraid. Where am I going to go? Who has what? And do you have your Tommy gun with you when you go to the grocery store? You know, I don't know. What you got to do? What are you going to do? Wow. Okay. God says, listen, what are you doing being afraid of man? And man that should be made as grass. So no matter who it is, no matter what stupid thing we do, people do, they're nothing. Verse 13 really hits the target. And forgettest the Lord, thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundation of the earth, and hath feared, that this is them now, you have feared continually every day Why? Because of the fury, the fear. Who knows who's going to do what, where, when? I'll read that again. And laid the foundation of the earth and has feared continually. In other words, you're afraid. I'm afraid. I don't know if I go out. What's going to happen? Wow, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. Every day, feared continually. Every day. Because, why? Because of the fury of the oppressor. Someone else, and they advertise and push it and push it and push it and make a big deal about it and all these things, and we get all wound up into the middle of it. People do. Wow. Every day, because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy you. When you go to the grocery store next, they're waiting to shoot you. Wow, what a message. They're waiting to shoot you. God, now you add another sentence. That's what they say. People do that. As if they were ready to destroy you. And where is the fury, the threat, the fear of the oppressor? You're going around fearing. And you're doing it continually. Because someone fed it out over here, and then you're keeping it in your little world, and then who knows who's going to do what tonight. And we don't know. But God said there are only people that are going to do it. And if you're walking around being afraid, you're doing wrong. You don't walk around and be afraid. You're being afraid of everything. You're running away from the wolf that isn't there. And when the wolf is there, you aren't going to be able to handle it because you're worn out. Over, if you would, please. In the process now, over to Psalm 27. I hope you got a little bit. We didn't get very far. I just want to get you to understand, because this issue of fear and all of that, and that's the last thing you want to have. No, I don't want to have that. No, we can't pick it up tonight, but you'll see it Sunday, Lord willing, maybe. Over, if you would, Psalm 27. Psalm 27, please. And David, are you going to say it? David's going to say it for us. Now Isaiah said it, but for the people, but they aren't David. And David was pretty good about all of this. Verse 27, chapter 27, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. God, David, how did you ever make it? King Saul wanted to kill you. How did you ever do it? David said, I looked to God, and I tried to do everything, but I went through all the different things. I went through them. And what did you learn, David? Verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, and my heart, though a host should camp against me, shall my heart not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Well, war is pretty dramatic, to have a war. One thing, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord for all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire of his temple. I'm looking, God, to be with you. That's what I'm doing. Now, David, did you do that? He did. And without turning there, Psalm 23, you know, David said, listen, when he closes, and he's been through it all, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So where are you headed, David? I'm going to God. God, are you going to keep him? Absolutely. David, shouldn't you be afraid? Oh, I should. There's certainly, the people are all, I had a lot of occasions where, boy, where my life was in trouble, but God kept me. Did you walk around, David, thinking, oh, boy, is me, who's going to get me next? Where do I go and hide? That isn't what you did. No, you have one desire, to be with him and to honor him. And therefore, verse 4, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, what? Thou art with me. And what else? I will fear no evil. And from evil comes violence. Aha, it does. But not for God's people. So therefore, David, here we are, back again to David 27, and verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. So of all the things that could be, it can't be anything except your will, God. And the evil and the devil and the whole system. I may have been before you're saved, you're a child of the devil, as it were, under his rule and domain in that sense. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God transforms you, transfers you, transplants you into the kingdom of his dear Son. And you're no more in the world, but you're of it. And therefore, don't worry about the world. The world hates you. The whole world around you doesn't want light. We like to be able to live in our ignorance and our way of handling bad things and easy things and much things politically and socially, educationally, and every way, religiously. We want to be able to handle it our way. So please don't bring God into the picture and louse up our conversation and our comfort, which is all no comfort at all. But we are looking. We are looking for things to get better, which is looking to hope that we don't get shot. You see, that's weird. Oh, that's our world. God said, don't be afraid. If you walk around being afraid, you're going to be able to go to your car. Now, the likelihood of a terrorist being there is not high. Do you understand that? It's a low likelihood, because who wants you anyway, or me? But I want to be able to go to my car in the parking lot. I want to be able to go to the car in the middle of a mall. I want to be able to do what I do. And I'm going to look to God. God will always have me at the right place at the right time if I'm trusting him. And there's no one going to shoot me that isn't God doesn't have it in mind. And if God has it in mind, God said, so what if they shoot you? Right? The millennium, the tribulation, God sends them to the slaughterhouse. Who? Believers. To the slaughterhouse. And the believers aren't supposed to yell, just like in the early days, you know, with the lions and the fire and all of that tar and everything. And they sang. That was the phenomenon that loused up the Romans and the people. Because they sang. Well, they're burning. I got to tell you. That's a different day. Different day.